Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I'm loaded for bear this morning. I don't know about you guys. Golly, got excited to be down here. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. And just don't even know. I don't even know how to fit it all in. You know, yesterday, if you're watching this show, you know, we got talking about the government and the taxes. And let me pull back here. Folks, we're getting new viewers all the time. God bless Before It's News. They stream us live every morning. Our views are going up. Our impact's going up. And I just thank Michael and the crew there at Before It's News that they trust us enough to put up in there. And then I was reminded of something yesterday. The last two shows have been kind of edgy. Monday was edgy, and Tuesday, this is Wednesday. They've been kind of edgy this week. And I didn't even think ahead and say, you know, there are going to be a lot of new viewers that are tuning in. And they're going to be blown away by what they're hearing. They may never listen again, as someone said to me yesterday. And, you know, I never really thought about that. Because when I come on here, I always feel like I come in and do the show. I'm talking to my friends. I'm talking to Vinny and Larry and Alan and George and Randy. I'm talking to my friends. We're having a huddle here. And I always forget that there are thousands of people that are watching this, right? New people coming in every day. And all you got to do is go to some of the comments. They think I'm nuts. Well, they think I'm nuts because they don't understand the show. And maybe on Monday I should have softened it and been really, really nice. And I'm here, but here's the truth. I don't soften my message for nobody. I'm not trying to build an audience. I'm trying to build men. It's a big difference.
Amen,
bro. If you're tuning in for the first time and you just don't really know how to take this thing, folks, listen, we have a loyal group of listeners that have been with us for years, some of them 3 years. And I'm sorry, but this ain't church, okay? I'm not going to preach a soft message just because we have new visitors today. This is what you get. This is what Coach Dave Live in the Huddle is all about. I don't temper it. I follow the Holy Spirit. What I say to you, I believe. What I say to you, I believe to be the truth. I lay it on the table. We cut up the meat. We chew it. We do what we want to with it. But if this is too harsh for you, do me a favor. Go someplace else, okay? I know we're trying to build numbers, but I know this. Back when I was coaching football, I was a high school football coach, for those of you who don't know. We got to the point one year where we had about almost 100 guys on our football team. We got really, really good. And when you get really, really good, everybody wants to be on the team. It's called bandwagon. Everybody wants to be on the team. And some guys just want to be on the team because they want to wear the uniform on Friday night because they'll get a dance. They'll get a date to the homecoming dance if they're on the football team. So we end up with a 90 some guys on our football team. But I knew this every time that I walked out on that football field, when we lined up to stretch before the game, we all ran out on the field and the players all line up. And they do their calisthenics together and all that stuff. I knew that when I walked out there, although we had 96 guys, I was looking for the 18 I could count on. Because ultimately, that's what it was going to come down to. 18 of those guys were going to determine whether we won or lost. Everybody else was just on the team and just waving pom-poms, to be honest with you, okay? So God bless the pom-pom waivers, but I'm not looking for pom-pom. I'm looking for players. And if this program seems harsh to you, I'm sorry. It isn't harsh. Truth is harsh. In fact, we have the shirt that we wear that says, "Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth." I don't pull punches for nobody, okay? That's the reality of it. Our audience is continuing to grow, and I'm going to let the Lord do a sifting process, and he's going to decide who's with us and who's not with us, and that's okay with me. But I know this, as I got up this morning, there are two things that hit my email inbox, and I read them, and I said, thank you, Jesus. That is confirmation I'm heading the right direction. I know For those of you who don't haven't been part of the show, I say you know and you know her. There's some things you just know. You just know it. And you see, no matter what, when revelation comes to you, friends, you better hear this. When revelation comes to you, I call it revelation of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord, the voice of God through the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. They hear it. I hear his voice. And another voice they will not hear. Okay? So when that Holy Spirit comes and I hear his voice, you have to immediately stop the second voice, because there's always a second voice that follows it. And the second voice that follows it is always the other voice. So when the Lord says, do this, immediately there comes a voice that says, nope, you better think about this before you do it. That always happens. And the best thing to do is what Jesus said when he turned the water into wine, when his mother went to the servants and said, whatever he says unto you, do. So you have to discern in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own knower, that voice that I heard was out of the Lord. And if it was of the Lord, then obey it. Do whatever he tells you to do. Now, if you don't know whether it's the voice of God or not, then you got a problem. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. See, sometimes you hear, but you don't recognize. Another voice they will not hear. I got some voices today that I know were of the Lord, and I'm honored that the Lord loves me enough that he would send an amen like that and encourage me. So this is what this show is. Coach Dave Live, it's not Coach Dave Dead. It's Coach Dave Real. We give you the reels. I got as many emails yesterday as probably any show that I have ever done regarding taxation. People who had just not really thought about it. And so now, then they begin to call me a tax protester. I'm trying to show all of our viewers, everybody that's in this queue, I'm trying to show you the multifaceted weaponry that the enemy is using. That's what I'm trying to do. You make the decision what you're going to do with your taxes. I want it to be very clear. We pay our taxes. We pay taxes. My wife and I pay our taxes, okay? I pay it under duress, but I do. And why do I do it? Well, maybe because I don't really want to, you know, like Jesus, I don't want them to get me taxed of all the stuff that I do. But if you don't realize, if you're not smart enough to see that the tax system is nothing but bondage to you and your family and your children, and if you can't see that the devil is the one that's in charge of the tax system, I don't know what to tell you. So I'm not telling you not to pay your taxes. I'm telling you this is a real issue, my friend. It's a real issue. And we're all going to have to, hey, you come down and land in whatever branch of the tree you want to land in. I'm going to bring to you what I believe to be evidence. You're going to have to do what you want to do. Issue number two, before we get going here. Folks, remember I told you the story a couple weeks ago? Some of you heard it, some of you didn't, where my little grandson laid his hands on I try to pray for my grandson and all my grandkids. I pray for them regularly. But I'd laid my hands on my grandson and I'd pray for him. When I got done, he said, Grampy, can I pray for you? He's 3 and a half. Can't hardly make a sentence. And I said, yes, you can, David. I'd be honored. He laid his hands on me and started to pray, and he just mumbled it. I mean, that's how he prays. And then as clear as a bell, he said, the Lord will open doors and you will walk through them. As clear as a bell, David said that. I still get goosebumps. Folks, listen, I'm just going to be as honest with you as I can. The Lord's opening doors and I'm going to walk through. By that, I mean, we have the opportunity. We have a wonderful opportunity to expand this show. Wonderful opportunity. And it's going to be an expense of about $2,000 a month. That's 100 people given $20 to help us expand our audience to a way that you can't even, none of us can even. 100 people pledging $20 a month. See, I'm the type of guy, I don't like to do stuff till I know I have it paid. I don't want to hire staff till I know that it's paid. So the Lord has opened this door. And I'm going to walk through it. See, the provision is for the vision. The vision is what? To train up and raise up men of God in this time in which we live. And the provision is the money that comes once you lay out the vision. So I'm appealing to you today that I'm about to sign a 6-month contract to enable us to, I just believe it's going to, 6 months, $2,000 a month is what I'm going to have to put up to do it, to be on terrestrial radio, to begin to reach more of the masses. and I'm stepping out in faith to do it. You know why I'm doing it? Because my son, grandson said, Grampy, the Lord's going to open a door and you're going to walk through it. And so I'm going to walk through that door. But I want you to know I'm walking through that door on faith, and I need help to be able to do it. Okay? People say, Coach, you must be a millionaire. You got this beautiful studio. Those of you who've been here know what the studio is. You know it's in my basement. You know it's because I have a great webmaster and a great guy that's Jared, who's running all this thing, makes it look like it's a multi-million dollar studio. I got a computer in front of me, a computer over here. I got a green screen behind me, and I'm in my basement. We're not a multi-million dollar organization. Folks, watch this. There are no commercials. It costs money to do this. There aren't any commercials. It's going to cost money to go on these stations. It's going to cost money to do that. I don't do commercials. So you hear my heart? I'm not begging you money. I'm not spending it on vacations. I'm not doing it like that. You hear the cry of my heart. This is it. Vic, this is it. Right here, right now is the time that we have got to make our move. We've got to make our move. We've got to make it now. And you hear my heart, my appeal to you. And it helps me that if you make that pledge that you do it, put it down, $20 a month. 100 of you do it. 100's nothing. We've got thousands watching. $1 a day from 100 of you is going to allow us to be able to. So I'm just being obedient to the Lord. There isn't hardly anybody doing what we do. Okay. I felt like I was going to open it up. I got to show you one more thing before I do. Jared, I emailed you. The Dave Hodges email. Pull that up there for me real quickly if you can.
Say, Coach.
Go ahead, Vic.
You got 50 for me. Thanks, 50.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. Listen, you don't all have to say, I'll pledge this up. Just do it. Just do it. Please, just help us expand this message. I don't want to be all over the place today, Lord. Be with me. I posted a commentary today at News with Views entitled, President Trump, Please Call Up the Militia. Please call up the militia. In essence, that's what I've been trying to do for 15 years is to awaken people. Please, President Trump, give us permission to go down on the border and defend ourselves. Please do that for us. That's the cry. But see, well, a lot of stuff to talk about. Dave Hodges. Jared, I'm trying to find you, man. I'm sorry. Folks, bear with me here on my multi-million dollar computer system here. I think I just sent it to you as it says Dave Hodges. No, that's not it, Jared. I'm going to use that in a minute, though, so keep that one right there. I think I sent you an email that says Dave Hodges on it, doesn't it? Did I not send that to you, Jared? No, yeah, I'm sorry, Jared. I just sent it to me. I'm sorry. Let me forward it here to you. Sorry, man. And then we can get it up there. Folks, I don't do this very often. I'm recommending you to watch Dave Hodges' The Common Sense Show from a couple days ago. In fact, it's going to come to Jared, and then Jared will get it up in the chat room for us, and we'll put it someplace where you all be able to. I'm telling you, folks. Dave Hodges has a guest on who says exactly what we've been talking about. He says the U.S. has entered the dark stages of corruption. Ronnie McMullen, CSS. This guy was a deep stater, and he explains in this hour exactly the depth of the corruption that's going on. That's all I'm going to say about it. Jared, can you scroll down a little bit? Right there. There it is. John Cruz, Senior Vice President, HSBC. This guy was a vice president at HSBC Bank, and he's telling us that they are the ultimate money laundering, and the government is all involved. He was a vice president at HSBC Bank, and he says all the money is governmental money is being funneled through HSBC Bank for nefarious things. So I'm not going to do it. It's a 50-minute interview. If you really want to know what's going on, you watch that because it's exactly the same stuff that we've been talking about. Okay, I've rambled here for a few seconds. Somebody come on here real quick. I sense Somebody has something to say. No, that's okay too then. Let me go back here where I was. Okay, let me, please listen, Occupy 2019. It's starting to fill up. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. I spoke to Russ Dizdar yesterday. He's excited about it. Good things going on. I have to calm down here at some point and just go to the schedule and keep everybody filled in on what's going on, because we got a lot of stuff going on. You know why? Because the Lord's going to open the door and we're going to walk through it. That's why. And the conference is coming up here in 10 days. Now, I've heard from several, just a second. I've heard from several people said, Coach, the hotel's the problem. I can't afford the hotel. Well, if that's you out there and you can afford the $49, but you can't afford the hotel, you contact me. Send me an email and I'll give you another. We're working on alternative housing. But I got an email from a guy yesterday said, Coach, here, send them here. They can go here for $50 a night and $100 total. And I believe we can even find it cheaper. So don't let hotel arrangements keep you from coming. If you're interested in an alternative, you want to come, but you don't have the money for the hotel, send me an email, coach@coachdavelive.com, and I'll connect you there. Jared, is that you, somebody trying to come in?
Whoever. No, it was me.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tell you that I'm going to ride Owen like a wild stallion. He's going to give us the time, and he's going to give us the platform so that we can go ahead and stop the spilling of innocent blood. Now he says he's not going to go to Ben White. He says he's going to go down into the belly of the beast.
Hey, Vic, listen. There are thousands of people who don't even know what you're talking about because they weren't in the pre-show.
Okay.
You with me?
I'm with you.
Ben White, oh, and what? Huh? God bless you. That's not where we are right now. I'm with you. I understand. You're my friend. I love you. A lot of people just tuned in. They said, who's that guy? Who's that Mexican coming in with that funny accent? Where'd he come from? They weren't in the pre-show. Okay, cool. All right. Didn't mean to spank you, Vic. I got so much stuff I want to share. Got so much.
Well, here's a little something for you, Coach. Might get you a little stirred up. Your hat might make the news down here. One of the people I gave it to in my church of the youth, he wears it to church, school. He goes to a public school. And they're recommending him to keep that hat off when he's in school. He's the grandson of one of my elders. So we're looking at potentially bringing in a lawsuit. He said, now the school says that they're not telling him he can't wear the hat, but they're strongly recommending that he does not wear the hat while he's in school. So we're about to turn two stones down here.
Sort of like voluntary compliance with the tax system, right? They will hope he voluntarily complies with it, or they're going to do something to him. That's where we are. Bless you, Dale. Appreciate that. Jared, pull up. What was I looking for? Pull up. I'm losing my mind. I swear I am. Pull up. It says good news, a hearing. Good news, a hearing. I think I sent that one to you, I believe, didn't I? Folks, look at this, man. There's something going on, folks. There's something going on. This came from Chad, our buddy down there in Texas, head of the national director of the Salt and Light Brigade, but head of the Texas Salt and Light. Look at this. Chad says, I have some really good news. I'm praising God right now because I just read the Chairman Leach's official announcement that House Bill 896, the bill that would abolish abortion in Texas, is getting a public hearing this Monday, April 8th. Folks, you understand how significant this is? A bill that would abolish abortion in Texas is getting a public hearing. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. This has never, ever happened. This isn't a heartbeat bill. This isn't a 3-day waiting period. This is an abolish abortion in Texas bill. Monday, April 8th, 8 a.m. And they are making a call out for people to come and fill the hearing room and pray that these guys are going to stand up with some gonads and make Texas a sanctuary state for the preborn. That's what they want to do. This has never happened, okay? While getting a hearing for the bill, like this is a historic moment, it also means that we have a lot to do in just a few days. This means we need your help more than ever, Texans, more than ever. And then before But before I get to here's what we do. There are 9 representatives on the committee, and 4 of them are Democrats who are pro-abortion. In fact, just last week, those 4 Democrats even boycotted listening to the testimony of survivors of failed abortions. So you can be sure they will oppose even more strongly a bill that would completely end abortion. This means that we need all 5 Republicans on the committee to support this bill. So here's where things stand with them. It goes down and tells you what they're all going to do, where they are. So, folks, here's the bottom line. Get involved. Fill the hearing room. Let's get this thing passed. Right? Is Chad in here? Chad, you have anything to add to that? I appreciate that you sent that out and gave us that information. I don't know if Chad's with us here this morning.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm trying to pass it on. You know, again, this just – what I'm trying to show here is I'm not on a kind of mission or one-man mission or whatever. Say we got to unify here and quit arguing about stupid stuff, about pre-trib and whatever stuff. Okay? We get unified and get on it and make a laser beam attack on something, and we can win big stuff.
We can win big stuff. Doesn't have to come. Hey, Chad, wouldn't you agree probably if we were really to take a poll, most Texans are against abortion?
I think most people in the world are against it. I just think most people are indifferent. They're just like, well, you know, I'm not going to have one, but I'm not going to let them, you know, I'm not going to keep them from having one. Well,
right. You know,
there's a lot of people that are adopting kids, and they're having to go outside America to get them. What's wrong with American kids getting adopted?
That's right, brother. I'm with you. Stop killing the babies and let's start adopting them out, right? Hey, how many people do you think are really, really, really for homosexual marriage? Yet they made us accept it, didn't they? Come on, man. Let's stand up and push back. Yep.
Coach, Pam and I, last night we went and saw the movie Unplanned, and I highly, highly recommend it. They do a fantastic job of showing the of the fraud that Planned Parenthood has committed over the years, and they show the graphics. It's unbelievable. I encourage everyone to go support that with your money, and let's get more things out there like this.
Amen, George. I'm going to do that. And the irony of irony, folks, I don't know if you saw this or not, it's rated R, meaning you can get an abortion at 14 without your parents' knowledge, but you can't watch the movie about abortion. That's how twisted we are in America, right? And why did they give it an R rating? They gave it an R rating because they don't want people to come and see it and have their minds changed about abortion. Something's happening here.
Hey, Coach.
This ain't exactly clear. Yes.
Let's make them eat that R rating. Let's everyone go see that movie. All you adults go see that movie. When you see the movie, you see that it doesn't deserve an R rating. Take your kids. Explain the miracle of conception to them and let them understand how beautiful, how precious that is, and how you don't waste it. You don't waste it. Ridiculous.
My buddy Gregory Jay sent me an email today. You know, the homos, not the homo sapiens, the homo deficients, homo deviants. They're after the 4-H.
The butt pirates. You
know, they're after the 4-H now here in Ohio. See, they're not satisfied with the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the schools and the libraries. Now they're after the 4-H. They're after the 4-H. Is anybody ever going to rise up? Man, okay, Lord, I heard you. Somebody, I got something ready for you. Somebody come on in here.
Somebody, hey, Coach.
Yep.
I got the number for the governor in Texas. It's 512-463-1782. If you just go ahead and call, talk to that secretary there and just, you know, give her an earful, I guarantee you that the calls that I've been making had to have played into that, because I told him he had to grow a spine. How could he go to Jeremiah Thomas's deathbed and make a promise and not keep it? And all of a sudden, this thing comes up. So what are we seeing? Some remorse?
Well, I will say at the same time, just like the president doesn't make laws, neither does the governor. He just signs them. So you got to keep your elected official held to the fire. That's what we got to do.
Amen.
Go ahead. Matthew 9 real quick, Jared. Matthew 9. Go ahead. Dale, somebody tried to come in there.
Yeah.
Bradley Pierce is actually, there's going to be a live stream, those who can't make it to that hearing on the 8th. Mm-hmm. You can go to his Facebook page. He actually has a live streaming. So for anybody who's never sat in on one of these hearings, they need to see this to see exactly what goes on in the thing. Plus, they'll be following the hits on this. It will have an impact. You know, when a person calls like Victor does, it does have an impact.
It does. Victor, what was that number again for those people? Do it real slow, Vic, in English.
Hang on. It's 512-463-1782. I just thought it was very ironic that the bill appears. It wasn't nowhere to be seen. It's the governor. He's twisting arms, bro. And that's what it amounts to.
Okay, Matthew 9. Folks, I look at my clock. I got to roll here, man. I got someplace I want to take you. Because remember I spoke about the amen of the Lord? I got an amen of the Lord today, and I'm going to share that with you. But I just looked down right now, and this hit me. Go to verse 35, Jared. Verse 35. Folks, this is when you're watching this show, I don't want you to – please don't take this the wrong way. But if you have eyes to see and ears to understand, you are witnessing the anointing of the Holy Spirit at work. I'm just telling you that the Holy Spirit says, boom, go here. And all of a sudden there it was. And I'm in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Boy, could I preach right there. The gospel of the kingdom. When people say they're sharing the gospel, you can't just share the gospel. You got to share the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist, I feel like I'm doing a review here. When first John the Baptist's first sermon was about the kingdom of God, Jesus' first sermon in Matthew 4:3 was about the kingdom of God. More than just a gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. A gospel of the kingdom of God. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. In other words, they were weak. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's America today, by the way. We follow men. We don't follow the Lord. Then he said unto his disciples, look here, boys. The harvest truly is plenteous, but I can't hardly get anybody to do anything. Please pray. Can you imagine this? Jesus asked them, boys, help me out here. Pray for laborers. Please pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you have any idea how white the fields are in America today? If you really believe that we are approaching the end times, you have any idea how easy some of that fruit's going to be plucked? Do you have any idea how much, even today, the Lord still needs laborers? Now, Jared, flip over a couple pages. There's the Holy Spirit at work. You go to Matthew 11 because I'm taking you somewhere today. Remember I told you about the amen I got from the Lord? Well, I'm going to show you the amen of the Lord. Hey, God bless you, all of you watching it before it's news.com. I know this is probably like nothing you've ever watched. This ain't church. This ain't a greasy, gracie, grab it, blab it. This is not what it is. This is hard-hitting, edgy Christian stuff that if Christians don't arise and stand up and fight, we are going to lose Western civilization. That is where we are. That's what this show is about. Don't come here and ask me to rub your back and tell you what a brave little soldier you are, because that ain't happening. And if you're out there and you're watching and you don't know the Lord, and you're not going to understand everything that's going on. But I'm telling you, if you'll watch this for a while, if you will give us 15 minutes of watching this, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart, and you're going to be hooked. Not everybody. The Lord has marked some of you. So welcome there at News With Views. I'm sorry, News With Views. Before it's news. I write at News With Views. That's why I said that. I ought to give them a plug, too. So this is for Roger, Matthew 11, verse 7. I'm going somewhere today. 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? skinny, tight jean, puffy hair guy that you went out there to see? Some sissy man shaking like a reed in the wind? I said, no, boys. And I said, what? You didn't go out to see that. Because you went out to see, did you go out there and see some guy all dressed up in pretty clothes and tight? Is that what you, no, no. He said, those guys are in the churches. That's what verse 8 says. A man clothed in soft frame. He says, don't go there. Those guys that wear the soft clothes, well, they're sitting in the church. You're up on the ministers of music. They're teaching pastors. Those guys got the soft clothes. He says, you want to see a real man? You really want to see a real man? Verse 9. Well, go out there and see him. Well, what do you want out to see? A prophet? Yeah, I'm going to tell you that. Go out and watch old John. Well, there he is, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he's going to prepare your way before you. And verily, I'm telling you, boys and girls, right now, there ain't never been, of all those born unto a woman, ain't never been anybody like John the Baptist. He is the greatest of any man ever born. That's what it says. Among them that are born of women, who hasn't been born of women? Who on the earth has not been born of a woman? Of all of those ever born of a woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Wow. I got thrown out of a men's Bible study. Well, and asked not to come back one time because I asked the pastor, why are we talking about Jesus and not talking some about John the Baptist? And my pastor said, that pastor said, Coach, you need to be part of a Bible study with men and sit down and listen. I said, see ya, Pops. Among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than... If John the Baptist was the greatest, well, shouldn't we know a little bit about him? Shouldn't we say what made him special? But notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He's talking to you. That if you are in the kingdom of God, you're greater than John the Baptist, who, by the way, was the greatest person ever born of a woman. Jesus doesn't include himself because he's divine. John the Baptist isn't divine. And the Lord says, you're going to be better than him. If you're in the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom, boy, I need to do a show on that. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. It makes us nervous, doesn't it? Makes your little sissy pastor nervous. Jesus said this. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Really? Well, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Violent men take it before us. Boy, we don't want to hear that, do we? No, we don't want to hear that. He has ears, let him hear it, says verse 15. So I'm going to show you something that encouraged me today. Jared, if you can, pull up on the screen. Andrew Strom. This just popped up in my inbox today.
We need a little more love, baby.
First thing I read this morning is this. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know Andrew Strom or not. He's a world-renowned evangelist. Some people know him. Some people don't know him. But this was the first thing in my inbox this morning. This is, folks, this is the amen of the Lord. All right? Andrew Strom writes, let me start with a warning. This is to be a blunt and outspoken piece. It is deliberately designed to be a challenge to our complacency. The scriptures tell us what we just read, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So why is it that so many of us are passive and nullified by a kind of fatalism that declares, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Boys, that's not true Christianity. True Christianity has always been war and battle for the souls of men. I've been guilty of this fatalism, Andrew writes. There's some on this list who have been waiting for so long to get out of the peacetime mode. I'm sorry, I misread that. And there are some on this list who have been waiting for so long that to get out of their peacetime mode would take a lightning bolt and is shaking far beyond what is healthy. I find it sad that it's not just the churches that need a good shake, but some of us called revival types as well. There are some here who are about as violent as marshmallows. It's high time for that to change, Andrew Strom writes. To those who say that we should simply still be in waiting mode, I pose this simple question. When does the wait end? when entire generations have been lost? When millions upon millions sitting in our churches are eternally ruined? Is the devil to take the youngest forever? Is the devil allowed to come in and murder our babies forever? Are we going to let that go on? It says, I love the scripture from the story of David and Goliath. It says, and David spoke to the men that stood near him, saying, what shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God? Now, understand this. Goliath wasn't defying God. He was defying the armies of God. You see that, Jared? Can you underline that for the people who have a hard time reading? Huh? Defy the armies of the living God. The devil's defying the armies today, folks. He's defying us, his armies, his soldiers. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy God's people? And the record tells us that with no armor and with five smooth stones as his only weapon, David ran full tilt towards that Philistine to see his God avenged and his people's reproach removed. This is Andrew Strom, although it's in my heart. Thank you, Lord, for this amen for me today. We hear a lot of people, we hear a lot about people with a heart like David in these last days. Well, let me tell you, Andrew Strom writes, David was a man of war, a man of action. He would not put up with his God being put to an open shame. I wonder where the Lord will find his Davids today. We live in one of the darkest hours in the history of our planet. As it was in the days of Noah and Lot, declares the scripture. And so it rapidly becomes. So where is the light shining into this darkness? Is it you? Is it me? Or do we just slumber on? Some of us have been waiting for 20 years for the right time. Are we never to act at all? Do we just float on, excusing our lack of urgency and burden with the trite reply that we are waiting on the Lord? Will such feeble reasonings ever find a hearing in the courts of God? Well, what a line that is. Boys, the battle is raging. It's never ceased. It is the battle for the hearts and the souls of men. Let the spectators and idle onlookers clear the field. Get off the field, you phonies! Let those with courage or urgency or burden retire from the scene. It is time for God's mighty men of valor to come forth. The hour is late, and the time will soon arrive when no man can work. In season and out of season, Paul said, and it's time for us to heed his words. If ever there was an hour for the Gideon's 300, it is now. Years ago.
This is it. This is it, Coach.
Years ago, God, yes, Benny, years ago, God spoke these words to me. Who dares wins? It's not enough to simply pray. For many have prayed and yet not taken the kingdom. And neither is it enough to prophesy. For many have brought endless words, and yet the kingdom remains undisturbed. The phrase, who dares wins, is the motto of the British SAS, men of action, who operate behind enemy lines and who revel in courage and fighting spirit. So it will be with the end time servants of God. If you don't have the stomach for it, hang back and do nothing. Nobody will notice. Hey, so let those who have been prepared, God, in the caves and the desert come forth. You have awaited a trumpet blast. Do you not hear it? Gird up your loins, you mighty men. Prepare for war. Arm of the living God, put on strength. The Lord is about to arise and scatter his enemies. Can you not sense it? Let the modern John the Baptist come forth. Yeah, go ahead, Mark. That was my amen from the Lord this morning. That was my amen.
Hey, Coach.
Today. Yes.
You know, we're waiting on the Lord. Well, the Lord is waiting on the obedient you.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
What's that scripture? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
To mount up with the wings of
eagles. They shall not get weary.
They shall walk and not faint. Yes.
What's the common denominator of that after that first part? It says they're moving. See, mm-hmm. Some of us can run, and God will give us the strength to run. Some of us can walk, but he will give us the strength to walk. What happens is when we start to move, the strength of the Lord comes, but we're Amen. Moving. And see, that's right. What's happening is people say, I'm waiting on the Lord. And, you know, it's like someone said, oh, I'm praying for a house. He says, well, as soon as you get up off of your knees, grab yourself some wood, nail, and a hammer and start hammering.
That's right. That's right.
So that's right on.
It's paralysis, brother. It's paralysis. We have been taught in a, again, I don't want to get into a theological discussion. We have been taught a gospel of surrender. That's the gospel we are being taught everywhere we look. And whether you believe in a rapture or don't believe in a rapture or what pre-trib or listen, I believe in a rapture. I believe in a snatching away of God's people. I believe that. It's the timing of when that thing's going to appear and what that's like. And I would say this, that we are paralyzed waiting on a pre-tribulation rapture. The Bible, they have convinced us that a John Darby through dispensationalism, I've got an article on that too, by the way, has convinced us that it's all going to wrap up. And when things get really, really tough, we're going to be out of here. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that's true. And because we think we're going to be out of here, we have lost our fight. We've surrendered the kingdom. We have surrendered the kingdom. We put our hands up and say, come and take us. We'll get you in the end. That's been our attitude.
But Dave, even if that was, that doesn't negate the word occupy.
Right. It doesn't.
Amen. Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Mark.
War. Anybody denying that need to question their own faith. But we're at war. We have a general. Our general is waiting on us to assemble. It's that simple. We must assemble the body of God. So it's our job who are assembled to find those remaining troops. And our general is waiting. Look who we are serving, guys. Look who our general is. It's Jesus Christ. He's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Amen. He's not love, love, love. No. He's a general when he comes back. That's what it says.
That's what it says, Mark.
He's leading armies.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he's not trying to give charges from the mess tent or from the hall. He's trying to give charges at the battlefield. That's where his charges are at. We have to go to engage on the battlefields.
Amen.
That's it. See, that's it. But see, it's our theology. That's not our theology, right? Our theology has become surrender. Surrender. And I'm telling you this. Here's what's about to happen. I just feel it. And I know it in my knower. Okay? I know it in my knower that there is an event that's about to happen, and I don't know what it is, that God's people are going to come running. They're going to come running. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I wish I could tell you what it is. But there is, God is not going to allow this to continue to go on. And we are his A team. There is, those of you sitting in this queue, we're it, baby. It ain't the Republicans. It isn't conservatism. It isn't any of that stuff. We're it. We're his A team. We are a nation in distress. We are a country groping in darkness. And we are the light, and we've hidden it under a bushel. That's what we've done. Just a second, real quick. I didn't get a chance to tell you, and I'm not going to tell you, get into it now. The wonderful time I had before those high school kids yesterday, and I get to go back in 2 weeks. I poked some light into the darkness. We can do it. We can still win. Go ahead, Alan. That was you, wasn't it, Alan?
Yes, sir, Coach. I was just going to say, I can't believe in that Georgia congressional building down there when Milano went in there the other day. Why didn't a man or woman of God stand up and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you and shut that witch down?
Because we're told to love him, right, Alan? To love him.
Coach, you know one thing about John the Baptist too, Coach? Jesus called him the greatest prophet born of a woman as well. And so if that preacher didn't want to hear about John the Baptist, he needs to go back to the cemetery and do some more research, Coach.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. Hey, boys, listen. This ain't going to come from the church. This ain't coming from the church. This pushback isn't coming from the church. It's coming outside the church.
And John the Baptist did it publicly. He was out in public.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Somebody come on in here. I got more. Yeah.
That reminds me of about 15 years ago. You'll probably remember back. You used to go to church every Sunday morning there where I used to go, and I'd make copies of your newsletter. And then people would come up and flock around me after church and get one of the newsletters like, hey, what's going on with Coach Dave? And then a few weeks later, because the pastor came up that day in our circle and grabbed one of them newsletters. And, buddy, he stuffed that in his pocket and walked off. He was so mad. A couple weeks later, the message was he went over and sit in his little chair. The whole message was, we just got to wait upon the Lord. And he stood up there and he looked right down at me. And I'm like, poof, I'm out of here. And I left.
Amen. We need more of that. We need more leaving. Right? We need more leaving. We saw right there, Jesus said the fields are white. So would anybody come out and help me here? Somebody grab a sickle and come out here and help me? And we've been taught the opposite. Eat, meet, retreat, and pray for the end to come. Somebody else come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's possible that this big flooding of the Midwest might be a blessing in disguise. All those crops are suffused with glyphosate, which is cancerous to humanity. Now, there's a way to get rid of it using carbon dioxide, right? But it's not widespread. So, and also, it turns out that maybe the grain is no good for humanity itself. I think we need to start eating some kind of different source. So maybe, I don't know if this was done purposely or by accident, ha ha ha, whatever. But let's do something from this. You know, let's not suffer. Let's figure out what we're going to do, because we know what they're doing. They're trying to do it's a price gouging and just trying to raise the prices on everything.
Amen. Well, again, go do that as I spoke earlier. Go to that Dave Hodges piece, and it all ties together, boys. It all ties together. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about something because it makes us uncomfortable. The reality of it is that we have to see the bigger picture and understand exactly what's going on. Anybody else before I move on to something else on this topic? This is it, fellas. This is what this whole thing. If this show's just entertainment, we're missing the whole thing. You know, I was talking to Chad last night. You know, we went down to when we were in Texas, down in Dallas. We had about 50 people come up on their own and give us their addresses and their emails. They're ready to do something. 50 in that crowd, maybe even more. They don't know what to do. That's what we're trying to. That's the whole focus of what we're going to do at Occupy 2019 is try to equip you guys, all of us, to go back to where we live and be equipped to be able to fight the fight a little bit. I was amazed when Russ Dizdar spoke in Dallas, I was amazed that he had a line of however long. He had 100 people in line. And I talked to him yesterday. I'm not dropping names. I was on the phone with him yesterday. I said, Russ, how many requests do you get a day over your email? And he just kind of snickered. He said, well, Coach, on a good day, 30. On a bad day, 100. What? 100 requests for what? So please, Russ, help me with the spiritual condition of my son, my husband. And the church is powerless to do anything at all against the forces of darkness. And if you think that I'm missing the beat, you just start talking about it in your church and see how fast they pull the rug out from under you. When you start talking about demons and the demonic and casting out devils and taking authority. See how quickly they pull the rug out from under you and shove you into a corner and I politely ask you to keep your mouth shut. And Russ Dizdar says they line up by the hundreds everywhere he goes. And we know that the battle is spiritual. We hear it all the time. Well, Coach, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Yeah, no kidding. And you don't know the first thing about it. Nor do you want to know the first thing about it. It's spiritual weaponry taking place in front of us, and we have no ability to counter it. We have no curiosity about it. We don't want to know how to conquer the devil. We just want to sit back and be comfortable. Well, boys, the devil's coming to church. He's coming to us, and we're going to have to wake up and decide what it is that we're going to do. Oh, my goodness. No wonder they think. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I heard something yesterday about the second coming. You said, do you think the second coming is going to be a quiet thing? It's going to be disruptive. So the whole world is going to know about it.
Hey, anytime Jesus shows up, it's been disruptive. You remember the last time?
I know this.
That's what he does.
He showed up in my house and turned my life upside down. I know that. He's disruptive. God's disruptive. In a good way. In a good way.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think Alan was talking about in Georgia. Well, I just read something yesterday. You know, don't tell you that the gospel is disruptive to families. You know, the Baldwin brothers, you know, Stephen's a Christian.
Right.
Well, he's gone out on Twitter and railed against his brother Alec, who is going out here with a group of Hollywood people and writing letters to the governor of Georgia that if you sign that heartbeat bill, we're going to boycott Georgia. And that's the gospel.
That is the gospel of the kingdom, right? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, not just the gospel, not the gospel of just getting people saved, but the gospel of the kingdom. Jared, go there. For those who say, what the heck are you talking about? Jared pulled up there real quick, just so everybody knows. New listeners, new viewers, just so everybody knows. Go to chapter 3, Jared, of Matthew. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 3. This is for those of you who think, don't know what I'm talking about here. I got to find you again, Jared. I lost you. Where are you? You're hiding on me, Jared. There you are. Sorry. Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see that? The kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Jared, let's flip over just a page and let's go to verse 4, chapter 4, verse 17. Because Jesus is going to start his preaching too. And look what Jesus does. It follows his cousin, by the way. Remember, John the Baptist was the forerunner. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, isn't there something to that? Isn't there something? When both of those guys, the greatest ever born to a woman and the savior of the world, when they both repeat the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't you think we'll do a little bit of a deep dive into what that means? Huh? What do you think of man when Jesus said, it is finished, when he hung on the cross? We'll go back to 1 John 3:8. Go there real quick, Jared. I'm taking new viewers on a journey here. 1 John 3:8. Those of you who believe that the devil owns this world, those of you who believe that, 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God showed up, that he would destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sin, victory over sin. And what did Jesus say when he hung on that cross? It's done, boys. What's done? He destroyed the work of the devil. He destroyed the power of sin over your life. He destroyed the reign of the devil. I don't know why we don't get this. Jesus destroyed the reign of Satan at the cross. He didn't just save you. Your salvation is a byproduct of him destroying the works of the devil. If you are in sin, it's because you can, because you desire to continue to be in sin. Jesus came and he destroyed the power of sin over you, over your life, over this world. But we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to go into all the world, the gospel of the kingdom, and teach them to observe all that commanded you and love them with you always, even to the end of the age. It is finished. It's done. Occupy. That's not the word. That's not the word we hear in church. That's not it. That's why we're passive. Okay, one thing I want to show you before I'm done. Every time Chad makes a video, I like to share Chad's video. He made a little 2-minute video, Jared. Yeah, I think you got it right there. Just Chad's vid. It's about a minute and a half of what went on in down in Dallas. I want you to see some of the Salt and Light Brigade boys at work down in Dallas. We're going to do this in Akron, April 12th through the 14th. Come and join us, man. And remember, I said to you, if hotel is a burden to you, contact me. Say, Coach, I want to come, but I can't afford $200 for a hotel. Get a hold of me. We'll see what we can do. We need you there. Lord needs you there. So Chad made this short minute 35 clip from last week. Go ahead and play that, Chad. Freeze it a second, Jared. Coming up, don't miss this. Here comes my favorite picture of all of my, am I allowed to say it? My Hispanic friend. I have Hispanic friends. Don't miss this one coming up. Go ahead. Even Hispanics sleep, although I wonder about Vic sometimes, to be honest with you. See, those of you listening right now, so why you're a racist, Vic, my friend, the joke. Lighten up. Go ahead. Thank you, man. I just want you to know, I want all those guys out there to know that everyone that came and was a part of it, everyone that's part of this queue, every guy gets up in the morning and comes and joins us. Every person that's watching this thing, brothers, there's something big going on in our midst. It's going on all around us. And the Holy Spirit of God is prompting us. That's why you're in here. Holy Spirit of God is prompting us to arise and shine and be his church now at this point, at this time. This is our moment. This can be the church's finest hour. Isn't that what Winston Churchill said? This will be our finest hour in the midst of all the turmoil that was going on in Great Britain. Isn't that what Winston Churchill said? He said to the people, don't despair. This will be our finest hour. We are on the verge of the finest hour in the history of American Christianity, for sure, if not all of Western civilization. We stand on the precipice. This will be our finest hour. God needs you, folks. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.